Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf samaches. As you know, we learned until the Mishnah. So we start the Mishnah now. I know that there's a parenthesis around the kol hapsulim shemolku. However, the fact that there's a parenthesis, there's an aleph over here in shnur neschois. Bektsas neschois, karsim vahach bava besiyum ha-Mishnah. Amilot shenigmar bamed beis, mashma kigiesu shalafaneinu, v'chei mashma divrei Rambam. In other words, even though it is in parentheses, everybody agrees it belongs in the Mishnah, there were some that had a girsa in earlier editions to put it at the end of the Mishnah instead of at the beginning of the Mishnah. But as we'll see in the Gemara, it's hard to follow that girsa because the Gemara is going to say that Molech B'Smoil Eibalayla is right after the Kolapsulim. It'll become clear soon. Zok the Mishnah, Kolapsulim Shemolku Melikosan Psula. All the Psulim Shemolku, that did a malika. Now the Mishnah doesn't explain what the kol hapsulim means. Rashi of the bottom says, the Gemara Mefarish, we'll see Mechim the Gemara exactly what that kol hapsulim comes to add. On the surface, l'choira, what it comes to tell us is we had already another perek that began kol hapsulim. In fact, the name of the perek is kol hapsulim, and that was in the Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. And the Mishnah said, "Kol hapsulim sheshachtu, shechitasen ksheira, sheashchita ksheira bizarim ubenoshim ubavodim ubitmeim, etc." So, if assuming that Rabbeinu Hakodesh's intent was the same, so that Mishnah on Lamed Aleph said, "Kol hapsulim, who are the psulim? That's the four categories of zarim, noshim, avodim, utmeim. Their shechita is kosher because we know that shechita is ksheira bizar." Our Mishnah starts off the other way around. Kol hapsulim shemolkum likosam psula, because malika has to be done by the kohen. Not only by the kohen, it has to even be biatzmoy shel kohen, as we've learned in the past. How do I know that the din of shechita and the din of malika is different? Or by shechita, it doesn't have any requirement of kohen. Torah specifically says, you bring your carbon, and then the kabbalah, the hikar v'kohen, the kabbalah of the dam is done from Kahuna ve'elech. It's mashma that the shechita does not require a kohen. On the other hand, when it comes to malika, there it says specifically that you go and give the oif to the kohen, and the kohen is malak, he does the malika. So, when it says kol hapsulim shemolkum likosim psula, assuming that we're referring to a zar, or the noshim and avodim tmeim that we had in the previous Mishnah, then our Mishnah will tell you, as opposed to shechita, where it's kosher, even l'chatchila, here it's possible even b'diavad. I mean, that's one way that we're going to learn the Mishnah. However, as you'll see in the Gemara shortly, we're going to have a machloikis between a Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, how to understand the words kol ha-psulim. We'll see mitzvah. And even though there was a possible malika, no question about it, the malika was no good, and that chata sa'oif, or that oila sa'oif, is no good, and therefore not only the carbon is possible, you got to start from square one with brand new oif or oifois. So what do you do with this one that became possible? You have to go and throw it onto the base hadeshen, and that's the end of the carbon. But nevertheless, what happens if someone were to go and eat from that carbon? So I would have automatically assumed he's eating the veila. And not only that, it's a metama beis ablia, as we've explained in the past, that the gabi a nevelas oif tohoir is different from other tumais. For instance, if you have a nevela of a behema, then once you touch it, you carry it, automatically you become tummy. When it comes, you're talking about nevelas oif tohoir, you do not become tummy until you eat from it, and then you allow for some of it to go down the beis ablia. And then you become Tomei, but not before that. Here we're saying that the Malika was possible for whatever reason. We'll talk about that in the Gemara. Nevertheless, it's not Metame Bebei Sabliya. And if you eat it, you do not become Tomei. You're not allowed to eat a Chas HaShalom. In fact, it's Nevela, and the Issa Nevela doesn't go away. And if you had, presumably, if you had Hasra'a, that you're eating now Shtik Nevela, and you ignored it, you'd get Malkis for eating the Nevela. However, it's not Metame Bebei Sabliya. And the Mishnah continues, Molak b'smoil oibalayla. Those things are impermissible. You're not allowed to go and do Malika b'smoil. The Malika has to be Yemin. And in fact, we have all of those psukim that we've learned in the past, that you learned from the Torah. That's got to be the boyin yod ha-yemonis, boyin ragla yemonis, the oizen ha-yemonis. Everything's got to be yemonis, yemonis. So bismoil is possible. Same thing, malik bismoilim, of course, means that the koyin went and took his finger and he did a malika instead of with the right hand, he did it with the left hand. Oy balayla, if you did a malika balayla, you're not supposed to do any avoida balayla because of the fact that the pasik, the Gemara brings a pasik that it's got to be the avoidus akabonis have to be bayoyim. So if you did a malika balayla, then it's not kosher. Similarly, shochat chulim befnim v'kodshim bachutz. What happens if you shechted chulin? Nothing to do with oifis that you were maktish for chattas oifa, oilas oif. You brought a chulin from outside. What type of chulin we're talking about? We're talking about oifis. You brought an oif, which was chulin, a regular dove, turtle dove, a pigeon, what have you. Could be even a chicken, but you brought it into the Beis Hamikdash and it was totally chulin, and you shechted it bifnim. There's no place for shechting oifis bifnim. Bifnim means inside the Beis Hamikdash. Inside the Beis Hamikdash. The reason why it says bifnim is to distinguish between the kodesh and bachutz. What happens if you went and you shechted oifis outside? It was kodesh. In other words, you makdish it for a chatas oif or for an oilis oif, and instead of doing the malika inside, you did the shechita outside. Einon metames bebeis ablia. Just like we said a moment ago, even though all of these things are possible. When you're talking about chulin, it's not really a question of psul or not. Chulin has no business being in the azor in the first place. Get it out of here. But if somebody did shecht it with them, and then afterwards somebody ate from it, it's not metame beis ablia. You're probably saying, chatov poshit, because after all, there was a shechita. But the Torah doesn't provide for shechita by oifis in the Beis Hamikdash. It's as if they're two separate zones. There's a zone of shechita outside the Beis Hamikdash, and don't go and do a malika. And then there's a malika inside the Beis Hamikdash, and don't do a shechita. So sol kedai techaminim, maybe the fact this should have the status of nevela, and therefore if I eat it, it's metame beis ablia. And the answer is no. Although what you did was improper, it's not metame beis ablia. And the same thing kodesh b'chutz, you have no business going and shechting and oivas oiv for chatas oiv b'chutz. Nevertheless, whether or not you're also oiver on shchutei chutz, our Mishnah doesn't go into. I believe we're going to have that later in the Gemara about shchutei chutz by oifois, which were muktish to be brought b'malika inside Beis Hamikdash. Yes, sir.
So you can't bring an animal that's not.
Not animal. Here to everything is foul.
Foul. You can't bring a foul that is not made hekdesh. Could you bring it in before and then make it hekdesh once it's inside?
You can be makdesh it in the Beis Hamikdash itself.
Uh-huh.
In fact, by oifis, the mother and the pasik, you can consecrate them, makdesh them either at the time of purchase or shortly thereafter, or at the time of the siyas hakoyin. So you go to the kohen, you say, I have these couple of birds, I wasn't makdish them yet, and the kohen says, what do you want to do? I want to bring it as a present for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No problem. And then the kohen says, I hereby declare them, oilas oif, and he does them with all the avoidas that are required for an avoidas oif, for an oilas oif. Or if the person says, well, I did a boob, I did a chet, I went to the Beis Hamikdash, and I did it, and I was tamei, I didn't realize, I'm so sorry. Well, are you a person of means? No, gan shvach. Are you able to afford oifis? Yes, in fact, I brought along two oifis. Okay, I'll take care of it. And the kohen says, I'll make one chatas oif, oifis oif. But if you leave it, betoiras chulin, that you're not allowed to do. You're not supposed to bring chulin bazar in the first place. But if you bring it for chulin for the purpose of the kohen now, being makdashit now, consecrating it and use it for the that, that's okay. Anyway, so you shechted chulin b'fnim, or kodshim b'chutz, it's not metame b'beis sabliya. However, says the Mishnah, now I have a list of those that are metame beis ablia. So far, all those in the Mishnah were ain't metame. Now we have a list of those that are metame. Why yes and why not? We'll see a zeha klal at the conclusion of the Mishnah and in the Gemara. So sukk right to the Mishnah. Molek besakin. As we know, the malika is supposed to be done be atzmoy shel koyin, meaning with his finger, the fingernail, the long fingernail. Or, and here, what did he do? He did a malika with a sakin, with a knife, and not with his fingernail. Or malak chulin bifnim bekotchim bachutz. So now this is similar to, but different than the earlier list. The earlier list was a shachat chulin bifnim bekotchim bachutz. Here he's talking about malak chulin bifnim. At least I have the benefit he did a malika. because it's Bifnim. Bifnim means inside the Beis HaMikdash. However, he had no business doing Malika on a Chulin. Chulin belongs outside the Beis HaMikdash, not inside the Beis HaMikdash. Or if he did a Malika of Kachim Bachut, that Kachim should have been brought and done a Malika inside, not outside. I think Ariel or Bill, somebody asked a question a few days ago. Why does the Torah refer to Toyrin Ubnei Yoina? So the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit later. It's really a Gemara in Masechtas Chulin. But what our Mishnah is telling us is that is specifically a major difference between Toyrim and Bnei Yoina. Toyrim are only qualified to be brought as a carbon when they reach the old age where they're now called Toyrin. Bnei Yoina, on the other hand, are only qualified when they're still so young that they're called Bnei Yoina. Once they are old and they become Yoina, disqualified. So you're asking me, what's the age? Is it a happy birthday age? Is it after 6 months, plumage, after a year?
Plumage.
Okay.
It turns you get golden yellow.
So if we want, we can look at the top Rashi, and Rashi goes and tells us in greater detail, so we don't have to have a machloikis here among in the entire chevra. Looking at the top Rashi, Toyrin shalehigi esmanin, ubnei yoina sheover esmanin, einer uyin lekarben. If the Toyrin lehigi esmanin, if they're too young, they're Toyrin. Toyrin means that they're already older. If they're too young, no good. Bnei yoina sheover esmanin, that they're no longer bnei yoina, now they're yoinim. No good. Einer uyin lekarben. V'havaluki malikas chulin. Just as if you're taking chulin and making a malika. It's like taking a chicken. These are not raw uyin, they're not qualified for kabanas. This sanya, Toyrim are by definition gedoylim. That's why he never says bnei toyrim gedoylim. V'loy ketanim nishka klein chiga. Bnei yoin is ketanim v'loy gedoylim. And now Rashi says what we just said. L'yishtamit kro v'kosav. I never find in the psukim when they talk about bringing oifos min hayoina umin bnei hatoyrim. It always says toyrim or bnei yoina, meaning not the order. But the point is, we always talk about bnei yoina, not the yoina. We always talk about Toyrim and not the Bnei Toyrim. So now you want to know, so when is that timeline? The Emesai Toyrim Kishayrin, when are they kosher enough? In other words, they are now grown, they're graduated. You can bring them for a carbon. Mishiyaz Hivu, when they start turning Zohav, start turning golden, which means the plumage, means the feathers, start turning golden. So therefore that's a combination of Brother Shai that said this word before, golden, golden of art. And the same thing is what Brother Barry was talking about, that the feathers have now turned zohav, golden. V'emesai b'nei yoina psulim, one of the b'nei yoina posel, mishiyatz hivu noitza. Not sure why here it says yaz hivu and here it says yatz hivu, abuzoi state. So when the b'nei yoina, when are they posel? Mishiyatz hivu noitza, when their noitza, meaning their plumage, becomes mushevesh shesovav atzavar, not generally, but those feathers that are around the tzavar, once they start getting yellowish or golden, a golden hue, oh, from that point on, they're no longer called b'nei yoina, now they're graduated, they're called yoina, and now they're possible to be brought for a carbon, for chatas oif or oilas oif.
When we said malika with a sakin, are we saying about, instead of taking a sakin and doing the shechita from the front of the animal's neck, we're talking about doing it from the back? Is that the
absolutely?
That's what that's mean by Malika with Sakin. Okay.
That's exactly right. And not only that, we're talking about that he didn't go and take it with the sharp end. He took it with a point and he stuck it in.
Okay.
Just like when the Koyan goes and sticks it in his finger.
His fingers in his thumb.
Same thing over here. Does that with the Sakin. Many of you may not have noticed yet, but we have the bracha that in addition to the Rashi, the regular Rashi, you have what's called Rashi Ksav Yad on the left-hand margin of the Gemara's half and the right-hand margin. Apparently they found an old manuscript of Rashi, so we have two different versions of Rashi on the same Amud.
Moisef Rashi.
Moisef Rashi is typically from elsewhere. In other words, they bring you a Rashi from Masechtas Yuma, Masechtas Chulin, Masechtas whatever. So he gives you the benefit of that. So that you have all over Moisef Rashi or the Kute Rashi. Here you have Nusach Rashi Xavier. Do you not have that on your?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Baruch Hashem. So now, back on Samach Ches Amud Aleph, Nusach Rashi in my Gemara on the left hand margin starts Mulek B'Smoil. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Do you have that, Barry?
Mulek B'Sakin, yeah.
Okay, so now go halfway down, you go Mulek B'Sakin. You have that as well?
Mm-hmm.
Loi Malika V'loi Shchitei. Shari B'Roishe Shel Sakin Mulek. He's Mulek with the spitz, the top of the Sakin. D'ha Malika B'Tzipoinini. Malika is supposed to be with your fingernail. V'choitech Shedu Mafrekes. You go and break the Shedu Mafrekes from the back. And Shumagil L'Simonim in the front. And you have to do it by chituch ktsas. When you're using the fingernail, you have to cut slightly. Don't go and cut through roiv basar until you hit the simen inside. Now this is the point I wanted to show you. That means the point. That's the point that we're talking about. The point of the sakin at the edge, because that is similar to putting in your fingernail. And then it's a machlan kedisim perikam the chulin mitzvah. We get the beginning of chulin, the five different prohibitions, five different limitations.
So it's halada with an actual shechita. This would be a psul. Would be a halada.
This is one of the psulim. Rashi says another psul that it would be drisa. Drisa then instead of just going and slicing. The sharpness, the slicing, but because of the pressure. But anyway, but the point is that you do the malika with the point, and you do it in the back, through the mafrekis, like a regular malika, but instead of doing it with your finger, you do it with the knife. So getting back to our Gemara, so or shiyofshe gapa. Yofshe gapa means that one or two of the wings dried out, and they're no longer functional. Shenismis eina, nebuch the bird is blind. Veshenikta oy ragla, or nebuch one of the legs is amputated. Tame bebeisa blia, then it is metame. Different than all the cases that we had before, that not metame, here they are metame bebeisa blia. And I'm sure Bill is already asking why, what's the difference? Manishtana, right? So before we continue on, as you know, there's a rule when it comes to an animal and or a bird, whether they become a balmum. Balmum means that they have some sort of blemish. We have a much more chomerdik limitation by behemoth than we have by oifis. How do we know? The Gemara says, tamis bezachris bebehema, vein tamis bezachris beoifis, which means that a behemoth that has a blemish, it's disqualified. You cannot go and bring it for a cart. What is the definition of a blemish? You have a whole list in Sefer Vayikra, but the bottom line is even Doik Sheba'ayin, the modern day people call that a cataract. That already passes by behemoth. There's already this Doik Sheba'ayin, no good. When it comes, however, to Oifais, that is considered to be so insignificant that it is not a psul. But nevertheless, even by oifis, there's something known as mechusar aver. Mechusar aver means that you're actually missing a whole limb. But mechusar aver lav dafka. Here we have one case of mechusar aver, that's the nikta aragla, where in fact it was amputated, and so therefore it's mechusar aver. This little bird is nebuch missing one of its avar. But lav dafka, even yovshagapa, where all the evorim are intact, however, nebuch, this one is dried out, and therefore is no longer functional. Or, if the bird has both of its eyes, but nismis, unfortunately, it's blind. So all of that is all considered to be mechusar aver, and passels not only by behemoth, but even by oifis. So all of these three are nebuch passel. And if you were to go and do a malika on one of these oifis that we just spoke about, metama besabliya. Not only are you not yoitz of the carbon, but if somebody were to go and eat from it, then he becomes tummy. So now how come in the beginning of the Mishnah we had a whole list of those where they're not it? All of the cases of the Mishnah are possible. Every one of them is possible. Only question is yom tummy nishmatame? Zehaklal, this is the general rule. Kol shepsulabak hoidish, ein metame besabliya. What means psulabak hoidish? That outside of besmidish, it's not possible at all. No problem. It's only because the psul is bakoidish. Then it's not matam besabliya, meaning that this oif was roi to come in. Let's give the example, for instance, in the beginning of the Mishnah. We spoke about the smoil and the laila. There was nothing wrong with this oif when it came into the koidish. In fact, maybe it was even brought 9 o'clock in the morning. But the kahanim were so busy, for some reason, they only did the malika balaila. Or the Kohen could have, would have, should have done the Malika with his yamin, and for some reason he did it b'smoil. So then, this is considered to be a psul and bakoidish because there was no pre-existing psul. It just became psul now, bakoidish in the base of Igdish because of a timing goof or because of a malika goof, some procedural matter. Oh, very good procedure. Good.
And if the psul was in the goof of the korban, let's say the animal...
A little gedilt, a little patient. Okay. That's psul and bakoidish, that the psul only was created inside the base of Igdish. Since essentially the person who did the avoida was kosher, and essentially the fowl was kosher, so then even though you did a foul act by doing the smile or doing it at night, it's not metam besabliya. However, there was a pre-existing psul even before it came into the Beis HaMikdash. Does this respond to your question?
No, if the animal...
Okay, so let's first explain what it says in the Mishnah, and then you'll repeat your question, Baruch Hashem, again. What means there was no psul b'kodesh? There was a pre-existing psul. For instance, we just gave a few examples, starting from the top of the omid. Torim shel higia zmanim. It's too young. B'nei yoyne, which are over zmanan. It's too old. Or any one of these balei mum, mechusar aver. It's missing a gapa, or the gapa was dried out, or the ayin was blinded, or the regal was cut off. Even before you enter the Beis HaMikdash, if you go and ask a Rav, a Dayan, a Kohen, or anyone who's learning the Daf and knows what's going on, you ask him, can I bring these for a Kabbalah? He says, of course not. It's not right to bring. This Torah is too young. Wait another month, 3 months. This Bnei Yoyin already too old. You can never go and use these. This Oif, unfortunately, is a Nebuch Mechusareva. You can't. So there, the Psul was not Bakoidish, the Psul pre-existed, going into the Kodesh. No, you had no business bringing it in the first place. In such a case, then it is mitame bebei sabliya. If, nevertheless, the Kohen did the malika and all of these psulim, it's mitame sabliya. And if somebody were to go and eat it, then unfortunately he becomes tame. Let's go back to your question.
If the bird lost its foot in the Kodesh, it came in intact, his wife or korban.
That's a very good question. We have the same concept in Masechtis, even in our Masechta later on, Mitch, when we get towards the end of the Masechta, the Gemara is going to talk about a roiva venirva. What's a roiva venirva? Roiva venirva means by a regular animal. If that animal went and lived either with a male human being or with a female human being, what's the din? The animal is now disqualified. You cannot go and bring it for a carton. Says the Gemara, that is an example of the psuloi. It was a pre-existing psul even before coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, it was right in the Nirva. Very simple. What happens, ask the Gemara, I think it's Rabbi Yirmiyah, that would be typical Rabbi Yirmiyah. What happens if the right in the Nirva took place in the Azorah itself? In other words, before the animal came in, but in the... Okay, now, did this ever happen? Presumably it never happened, but theoretically it could happen. Is that considered to be a psul about koidish or not? Which is really the same type of question that you're asking. The psul is not a koidish tikka psul. It's a psul that normally is already outside the Beis HaMikdash. And here it happens that it occurred in the Beis HaMikdash itself, just like the Roy Venirva case. Normally you would think of that as being not psul of a koidish. It's pre-existing before you even think of coming to the Beis HaMikdash, but what happens if it became a Reuven Nirva in the Beis HaMikdash itself? And the same thing you're asking is, what happens to Gabi, this bird, as it came into the Beis HaMikdash, was perfect? What happened in the Beis HaMikdash itself, unfortunately, got cut up, caught up in wherever, and became Nebuch amputee, Nebuch one of the legs, whatever fell off. So you're asking, what is that halach? So Mirchim will get to the halach of the Reuven Nirva, and we'll see. The Gemara is going to talk at that time about such things, which the Isser is not a Kodesh Isser. The Isser pre-existed coming into the Kodesh, but the fact pattern only caused it to become Isser now inside the Kodesh. Zok Gemara. We go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. We said that Smol V'Layla are not Metam V'Besabliya. So Rav repeated this, Amar Rav, Smol V'Layla ain't Metam V'Besabliya. It could be that elsewhere there's a Braisa, where there's a Machloikis, or maybe Rav didn't have that in his Mishnah, because otherwise, what is Rav adding to the Mishnah? Mishnah Shteitach Shoin, Smol V'Layla, Eimetam V'Sabliya. But what is the Chiddush of Rav is that the Zor, the Sakin Metam V'Sabliya. Now the guy with the Sakin that we also had in the Mishnah, back in the Omer Aleph, we had that Molech the Sakin, it's Metam V'Sabliya, that was one of the first cases that we started, the last line of the Mishnah Sot Malakasakin, Malakachon Bifnim, etc., continuing Tarishle Gizman, and all of those were Tam Vesablia. Okay, so the Sakin we also have from the Mishnah. But it is, what about the din of Zor? Zor doesn't say in the Mishnah, Shteitnish Kavart. Unless you learn that when it says in the Mishnah, Kol Hapsulin Shemolku, is referring to the same type of cases that we had back on Daf Lamed Aleph, where it said over there, Kol Hapsulin Sheshachtu, the Shchitosan is Ksheira. So if you're going to say Kol Hapsulin means also the Zorim, oh, so then the Mishnah does address it, and the Mishnah says, Ve'enim Etamah Beisabliya. But Rav says the Zor is Metamah Beisabliya. Zaitzachos, that Rav either disagrees with our Mishnah, or that Rav in fact learns the beginning of the Mishnah when it says Kol Hapsulim, that it's not referring to a Zor. So that's what we're going to address at the bottom of the Amud. But in the meantime, let's understand what Rav is telling us. Shmoil v'layla ein metamin, Zor v'sakin yo metamin. Frey Timora, maishna smoil de islei hechsheira b'yom ha-kippurim. V'layla islei hechsheira b'ivorim b'dorim. Zor nami islei hechsheira b'shchita. What's Timora's kasha? Timora's asking is, manishtana, why is the case of the Zor v'sakin, or specifically, why is the case of the Zor different than the case l'mushal of the smoil v'layla? What's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara is telling us is that if I can find some other time and some other place where these avoides are kosher, then I understand that even in this case, when it was possible, but nevertheless, it's not, what do they call it in the, when you're getting into Shaduchim, it's not in or out of the parsha. In other words, a case of a smoil and a laila is in the parsha of avoida. What do you mean? I never saw a smoil. Yes, there's an exception to the rule. It's the Echsher b'Yom Kippur. When Yom Kippur do you have a case of smoil? Says Rashi, when the Kohen Gadol is going into the Kodesh Kedoshim, he is using both hands. In his right hand, he's carrying the machta with the gicholim. In his left hand, he's carrying all of the chafina of the ketoiris, and his hands are both full. But he has to, you don't go one time, put it down, and then come back in again and do it a second time. You're supposed to use both your yamin and your smoil at the same time. Ah, so I see that smoil, at least once a year, has a hechsher in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, if the Kohen did a malika, the smoil, he shouldn't have, but he did. Okay, there is, if you will, a precedent of avoida kedosha and avoida muteris al yidei smoil on Yom Kippur. So therefore, b'di'evet, even though it's possible, b'di'evet, it's not metame beis ablim. Sorry?
The Rambam, you said he had it with his left hand.
Holding it.
But that's the disagreement.
But the Malika is with his, the Malika that, refers to the incision.
Also he did. So, with two hands. So,
and therefore?
And so therefore, here you have to say that it's not, that's not the precedent here, because you see that he can hold it with the left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have brought that case if that were the truth.
I want to thank you for bringing that up, because when I was learning it, that bothered me as well. So either that would be a raya against the Rambam, and it would be in favor of all of those that held that Tamik Malika is totally biyamin. Exactly. Mamish kasha, because he's only using his right hand, he's not using his left hand at all. So that's what L'choyri can be medayik from our Gemara. But since the Rambam obviously knew the Gemara, we're not talking about a contemporary rabbi or an achrei, we're talking about the Rambam. And we have to go and say that the Rambam held the fact that you hold the bird on your left hand, that is not considered to be a voida. That's just considered to be, somebody's got to hold it somewhere, so you put it in the left hand. In other words, when it comes to the case of the kaf and the machta, he holds the kaf, the machta in the right hand and the kaf in the left hand. L'choira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made it easier. And he could have said, you know what, I have a good idea for you. Take the machta in first, put it down there in the Kodesh Kadoshim, and then bring in the kaf number two, and then you can continue doing it everything in the right hand. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu required that they both be done simultaneously, with one entry into the Kodesh Kadoshim, and this one you're doing your right, and this one you're doing your left, so Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is being matir the smile for at least one avoida during the year. But my Malika, it's not a question of that is an essential part of the avoida. That's just to do malika, what do you do malika? It's all, you know, it's practicality as opposed to halachically. So that's apparently how the Rambam would learn. He would hold that holding the oif in the left hand, just for practical purposes. You could theoretically put it on the ground if you were able to go and domesticate it and have the bird. Bird, please, don't move. Stay there where you are. And if you would, then you can do that. Al pi halacha. Since it's not going to work on a practical level, because most oifis, if you give them instructions, you're just going to fly the coop, literally, and fly out of the Azara, so therefore you have to hold it. That's how the Ram would learn. And continues the Gemara, V'layla isle hechsher also has a hechsher. In which respect? Bevarim pedarim. That's the first Mishnah in
Brachos.
And Mesechta is Brachos. Can you do the Evarim pedarim kol halayla only until Chatzos?
The whole night?
The whole night. Even though the Mishnah says, Machadma Veira, but the Rashi already says, Ofanor to Mesechta Brachos. We just bring that array of things that you do the whole night. But the Harchoka, they only did the Gabi Achila and not the Gabi the Evarim Pedarim. Okay, so bottom line is, so and Evarim Pedarim, that's also part of the avoid. It's not an avoid which is Ma'akev, but Avada, that's a Hekta Chalom Evarim. It's like the Aymer on the Mizbeach. You got to do it. And you can do it the whole night. Is the chasimen that Laila can be used occasionally for certain purposes for avoidah. So that's why it's not metamba basically. That being the case for the morzornami, isli hechsher, where by shchita, every single day, you have the shchita numerous times of all the karbanas, azor is kosher b'shchita. So you see that azor also has shaykhus to the avoidah. So just like smoil and Laila have a shaykhus to the avoidah, so azor also has a shaykhus to the avoidah. Every more shchita lav avoide. Shchita is not considered to be an avoide. It's like saying that holding the bird in the left hand, that's not an avoide. How can you say shchita lav avoide? V'loi v'amar abzeira shchitas pora bizar psula. Pora is referring, of course, to the pora aduma. If a person shechted the pora aduma and that person was not a koyin, it's possible. Now, where does it say in Parshas Chukas that the shchit of the pora has to be dafka through a koyin? Or machvi Rav Allah, Rav said, look up in the Chumash, and it says that when you brought the pora aduma, Elazar was present, and you did it. The pasuk says a loshen of b'fanav, and the pasuk also says v'chuka. Chuka means that this is a choik. Choik means it's ma'akev. Now, there happens to be a machloikis not here, but in Masechtas Chulin, legabi the halacha of the shoicher of the par aduma. Many other amiroim disagree with Rab and say the presence of Elazar is required, like we have in Parshas Chukas, but for shochet ois lefonav, that even a zor can go and shecht it, as long as he's shechting in front of the kohen, so to speak, he's the mashgiach, he's the it's under his aegis, under his authority, so he has to be standing there and watching when the shechit is taking place, and it can be done even by a zor. However, since we're talking about Rav, Rav Lishitasoi, Rav holds that shechita by a zor is possible. What's the reason why? Because the Torah says Elazar, and even though the pasuk uses the expression for shochet oisa lefanov, which sounds like it's somebody else doing it in front of Elazar, in Masechtas Chulin, Rav answers that kasha by saying that the Elazar, the koyin, that shechting, he has to be mechaven the whole time. He shouldn't space out during the time of the shechita. And therefore, Shachar Ois Lefanav, he looks at the Paradum and thinks, Paradum, I'm shechting the Shech Paradum, Tahar of Akla Yisrael, etc., etc. Anyway, so therefore, Rav Lishitasai holds that a Zor is possible when it comes to the shechita of the Paradum. So I see from this that shechita by a carbon is considered to be an avoider, and the Zor is possible. So don't tell me shechita lav avoider. I see that the shechita by the paraduma, that obviously is an avoider, because we're saying that the Zor is possible for that. And the fact that the Torah is matir shechita inside the base of English, so I should say it's like smoil or laila, that sometimes it's possible, and sometimes it's kosher, and therefore b'diavad, if you have a malika through the koyin, not through the koyin, through a Zor, I should say it's not metame bebeis abliyom. Every marshani pora de kochim berekabayasi. You really cannot compare to paraduma to kochim in the base of Mekdash. You can't, and we're not going to.
Right.
And anybody that tries to compare paraduma to any other carbon, we're going to go and say, holy cow! Because this is not
Chukah.
Anyway, Sashani Parah, the Kochi Medikabayasi. And that's the reason why there you have to have a Koyin, and a Zor is possible, but not by Kochi Migdash. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. V'le kol tshkeinu, isn't it a kol tshkein? Ma the kotchim bedech habayis? Bo kahuna, kotchim is beach mi boyit chavada, kotchim is beach require kahuna. So I see that shchita is considered to be a full-fledged avoida, and by the paradum and kol tshkein, by the Beis HaMikdash, and nevertheless the Torah is matir a zar, so therefore if the zar did malika, I should say it's just like the case of the Smoil and Valila. Even over here, it's not possible by Malika. But since it's kosher elsewhere, Smoil is kosher by Yom Kippur, Lila is kosher by the Emorim, the Aymarin, and the Evorim, Darim, etc. So Zohar is also kosher by Shechita. So why do I say in the Mishnah that if the Zohar is the one that did the Malika, it's Metamah Beis Ablia, I should say it should be just like Smoil and Valila and Ein Metamah Beis Ablia. Everything Amar Amar Rav Shisha Barei Davidi, don't bring me a rai from Paraduma. It's me to Dehava Maris Negoim. The Lava Voidi Yabaya Kahuna. As you know, if you go through Parshio, it says Ria Matzoira. The Torah says numerous times that if a Matzoira finds some sort of Taraz, Uboha Koin, Vishova Koin, Veroa Koin, Veheris Akoin, Veroa Koin. The Torah uses the term Koin numerous times, that the only way that you can paskin whether a Mara of a Nega is really possible, really a nega, and the person has to go mechutz lamachne, or at least he has to be muzger for a week, and if there's a nega on the wall, if there's a nega on the beged, all is kahuna kahuna. This is not nothing to do with avoida, but the zigzagers of course of it has to have kahuna. Same thing with paraduma. Paraduma is not considered to rise to the level of, even the shechita is not considered to rise to the level of an avoida after all. It's outside the base of English. So yes, it's very holy, and paraduma we know about how Paradum is so exceptional in so many different respects, but nevertheless, it's Nishkan Avoida, and the fact that a Zohar can go and Shecht here in the Beis Mikdash and not by the Paraduma, one thing has nothing to do with the other. And therefore, weiter at the end of the day, Shechita Lav Avoida He, and therefore you cannot bring a Raya from the fact that a Zohar can do the Avoida. Of course, it has other requirements, for instance, Legabe Hilchois Pigel, it is considered to be an avoida, that you have the four avoidas that can mafagal the carpet. You're right. For those purposes, it is. But for these purposes, the gabi is zor or a coin. It's an ishkan avoida. The best arai is that the Torah doesn't require a coin to do the shkita. Zor di moravaita, the nailef mi bama. Why don't we go and learn from bama? What means we should learn from bama? So Rashi says, because a zor is kosher to do a malika, so oifois by bamois. Why? Because there's no requirement of kiyon. If you look at the Rashi, v'neilav mi bama, it's just five lines above where we are in the Gemara. V'neilav mi bama, shazar kosher ba. At the bama, outside the Beis Hamikdash, it's hetera bama's time, azar is kosher malika. Why? L'chadchel de'en kiyon b'bama. There's no requirement of big day kahuna, there's no requirement of kiyon at all. So therefore, says Rashi, kim de'ashchon l'hechshera l'chadchela v'alma, since somewhere else I find the heter. Oh, it's just like the smoil I find in Yom Kippur. I find Laila heter for the Aymarin. So here too I find a heter for the Zohar. Where's the heter? By Bamois. So over here, Yitar Kanmi Deinavelot. Why do you say that it's Metam in the Beis Abliyom? Every the Gemara from Bama Lo Yalef. He helped me in the Gemara do. So the Gemara, Mirim Edwana, Lava, Boydi, Hiba, Bayakun, and they'll be Bama, Mi Bama Lo Yalef. No, I don't learn from Bama. Why not to learn from Bama? Bama is a totally different parasha. During the years where the Beis HaMikdash is standing, Bama is a totally awesome. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, there are Bama. So these two never overlap. There's never a connection between the two. Don't be arayas to Beis HaMikdash from Bama. I'll tell you already other arayas. What Tanya? What happens to a korban, either the basar or the aymarin, went outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and then somebody said, hey, what did you do? We didn't do the Zrikas Adam yet. Why are you taking this out? Schnell, put it back inside, let it in inside. Now we tell the Kohen, we want to put this on top of the, if it's an Oila, we want to put the Evorim Pedorim. If it's a regular Karma, we want to put the Eimerin. If it happens to be regular Bosser that can be eaten either by the Balim or by the Kahanim, if it's Yoitze, if it went out of the Beis HaMikdash, sorry, it's possible. What happens if that yoitze, which is possible, you're not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to put it on the mizbeach, and you're not allowed to go and be makter it? But what happens if by mistake you did a mala? Lo yered, you can leave it. Why can you leave it? It's possible. It's yoytze nedam bebama. Yeah, shari yoytze kasher bebama. Because yoytze is kasher bebama. You know why yoytze kasher bebama? Because it doesn't even exist. It's the efshir to be yoytze bebama. The whole concept of yoytze means it went beyond its normal parameters. For instance, when you talk about a base of English, kachi kudishim, it went out of the azara. If you talk about kachim kalim, it went outside Yerushalayim. But Bishas Heter Abomis, there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Yerushalayim, and therefore the Bomois means that you can go and take on your, you could live in Tel Aviv, and you put up your altar, your Mizbeach, on your front lawn or in your backyard, and then you go and bring Karbonis on Ashir, not everything, it has to be in the Dharma and Dovis, Maskim, fine. But with all those Karbonis, and you don't need to be a Koyin, even a Yisrael can go and do it. So all of those halachas apply. And there is no din of Yoytze. What are you talking about Yoytze? Don't go out of Dalet Amis. Don't go beyond the city limits. There is no requirements when it comes to Bama. You can do the Hakrav anywhere, and you can go and eat it anywhere, etc. So that being the case, says Imam, since Yoytze is kosher b'Bama, that's why Yoytze im Allah lo yered. Didn't you just tell me now that we don't bring any arayas from Bama to the base of Midrash? Everything, you have a good point. Tana azois toira so oila samachle. The Tana is really relying on the drasha of zois toira so oila. Now, our Gemara doesn't go into what is the drasha of zois toira so oila, but elsewhere the Gemara brings this pasuk, and the Gemara says, L'choira, I have the stira in the pasuk. The word toiras usually comes to tell you, toira achas l'chola oilin, it comes to be marbe a riboy. Zois is like zeh, that's a miut. How can you have back to back a ribui and a miyut? How does that work together? So the Gemara tells us that I learned from that the Zois Teiras Ha'Oila that certain things im ola lo yered, like the case of the yoytze that we just had, and in other cases im ola yered, meaning that there's certain kabbanas that you're not allowed to go and put on the mizbeach because they are posel. But if you put it on the mizbeach, do you say take it down or leave it? So certain times it's ola lo yered, that's the toira sa'ila comes to be marba. You shouldn't have put it on the mizbeach, but once it's there, toira achas, I'm marba, just leave it there.
Can you put the stira on the
stira?
He said there was a stir.
What you can do is when you look at the mizbeach and you're wondering yes or no, then you look, you stare at the mizbeach and you determine whether you should take it off or you shouldn't.
Okay.
Good. Baruch Hashem. So the Zois, however, tells you that if it went on the Mizbeach, take it down, do not leave it on the Mizbeach. Now, where do we have that drasha? The drasha is not here, it's brought later on. Let's see if we have it over here. Okay, Moisef Rashi brings part of it. Looking to see where do we have the, do we have Rashi Ksavyan? Yeah, we have Rashi Ksavyan, I think he brings it all. Yeah. Okay, if you look at in my Gemara Nusach Rashi Ksavyad, on the right-hand side, fourth wide line down below, where it says, Tana Azois Teira So'ila Riba Samachle. Do you have it there? You may have a different print. Okay, but it's towards the end of the Rashi Ksavyad for today. In my Gemara, it's six or seven lines before the end. The Tana Azois Teira So'ila, do you have that, Barry?
Yeah.
Good, Riba Samachle. Iker Milze, the Omer Lo Yerit. That that it says over here by the Yoytze, that you put on the mizbeach, lo yered, la mishum de kasha bebami. That really is not the real reason. El akra samach. We're really being soimach on a pasuk. The toshin and hasam, the perik, ha mizbeach makadesh. Toira achas, the chala oilim. Since it says, zois, toira sa oilim, toira achas, shem olu lo yeredu. The toshin and hasam, toira sa oilim, toira is l'rabbis. And it says, vizois, toira sa oilim, that's l'mayit, o barchinan. And we asked, hey, stira, ma raya, ma reisa, l'rabbi says, elu, l'hoitzi es elu. How come sometimes the Torah tells you, the Torahs, achas, the Torahs, oila, tells you, im olu, lo yerdu, leave it. And sometimes you sing vizois, no, im olu, yerdu, take it down. Ma reisa, l'rabbi says, elu, l'hoitzi es elu. Ma reisa, es elu, shalei psulim ba koidish. Moitzeni es elu, shalei psulim ba koidish. Oh, similar to what we had in our Mishnah, the Zeh HaKlal. The Zeh HaKlal of our Mishnah, of course, is referring to the Hilchois, Metama Mebe Sabliya. Here we're talking about the Olu Lo Yerdu or Olu Yerdu. Ah, so therefore says the Gemara, says the Rashi Ksav Yad. the Gemara later on, Daf Pei Dalet, Mitch, and we'll get to it in another couple of weeks. Which state, Marba Nias Eilu Shaliyah Psul Makoydish. And Marba those that were Psul, that the Psul began here inside the Azara, inside the Koydish. It was not a pre-existing Psul. Ah, that being the case, worst comes to worst, you put it on the Mizbeach, just leave it there. A Moitze Nias Eilu Shaliyah Psul Makoydish. The Psul was pre-existing, such as the case of the Mechusar Aver, or in the case of a Behema, a Balmum. Even before it entered the Beis Midrash, what are you doing here? Get it out of here. It's not supposed to be here. So therefore, Im Olu Yerdu. Hilkach Yoitze, Psul Bakoidishi. The whole Kavana, the whole Inyan of Yoitze, is built in the Beis Midrash. Da Mishabal Bakoidish, Nifsel. Meaning, prior to coming into the Beis HaMikdash, it was Yoitze Uba, it was running around everywhere. It wasn't the carbon, it was outside. Mm-hmm. Once it comes inside, and you go and shecht it, now leave it inside, don't take it out. Now it becomes Pasul B'Yoitze, that's a Psul B'Kodesh. Since it's Psul B'Kodesh, that's why normally you would go and say that Im Allah Lo Yered. However, what did we say over here? We said that the Im Allah So our Gemara says the reason is because it's kosher b'bama. Says you went, no, that's not the real reason. He just gives that as a reason. The Tana says, that because the whole din of yoitze, by definition, is a psul b'koidish, is more lenient, and im Allah lo yerid. Just finishing off the shtickle, Rashi Ksaviyad, tamishubol l'koidish nifsal, usmol v'layla, kim de ashchelahu hechshera, avoidis penim, Kipsul b'koidish chashivi. Any psul is like psul b'koidish. Al malika zar kiven dole ashchan lo hechshera b'avoidis benim. I never found anywhere else such a hechsher. La psul b'koidishu umetame, and it is metame after all. So getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara now concludes according to Rav that what's the din by a zar? It is metame b'sabliya because I never found that a zar is kosher to do any of the malikas. I found it to do shchita, but never to do a malika. So therefore, if they did a malika through a zar, im Allah yeired, it would not be one of those ribuyim, it would come down. And therefore, the same Allah applies, it's metame bebeis habliyim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan argues with Rav only on this Allah of zar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, zar, ain't a metame bebeis habliyim. But sakin, I agree, is metame beisabliya. So there's no machloikis legabi the sakin. The only machloikis is legabi the zar, where Rav said zar is metame beisabliya. Rabbi Yochanan says zar ain't metame beisabliya. What's the svara of Rabbi Yochanan? That zar ain't metame? Zug le mafarshim. Rabbi Yochanan holds, like we said before, that since it's kosher bebama, just like I find smoil is kosher on Yom Kippur, just like I find laila is kosher by Aymarin, so similarly, I find that Azar is kosher b'bama. The Gemara said before, and then we don't bring a rai from b'bama. Rabbi Yochanan says, I do bring a rai from b'bama. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees in the case of Zar.
Why doesn't he compare it, since Malika is the parallel of Shechita, and Shechita is kosher b'zar, Malika at least should be lenient to not mitam b'sabliya b'zar.
Why come the Gemara didn't ask that above when we were talking about Rav? Because the Gemara considers Malika to be a totally different parish in the case of Shechita. Shechita you do universally from here to Australia and back. But Malika only allowed to do in the Beis Midrash itself, so it's a totally separate parish. Yeah.
Also, doesn't the pasuk say Umalak HaKohen? So why would anyone assume that anyone else is permitted to do so?
Nobody could say that. Everybody agrees, possible. Only question is, the Di'evet, I know you already asked yesterday, how do you have this L'chil B'Di'evet? This is built into Hilchas Kachim and other parts of the Torah too. L'chil, you're supposed to do it one way. If you didn't do it that way, what are the ramifications? So the Kabi the Zohar, Kuli Alamoy, that this carbon is a goner. This carbon is Pasul. Whoever was Mechuyev to bring this carbon is going to have to bring a brand new carbon. No question about it. If somebody, however, were to go and eat it, Mezid or Beshogig, is a Metame Beis Habliya, that's a Machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yechina. Zok Yetz Tegemara, tonight, let's try to bring a Rai from our Mishnah. This we touched on when we started the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Kol HaPsulim, Shemolkum, Likasim, Psulam. All the Psulim are Molkum, Lik is possible. And what's the din? Shek the Mishnah, after Likasim, Psulam, the Ein HaMetam HaBeis HaBliya. Zok Tegemara, Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yisri Yazar. This Lashon of Kol HaPsulim comes to include Zar. And as I said earlier, that would then mirror the language at the beginning of Daf Lamed Aleph, the new parak, the merik which is called Kol HaPsulim. There it says Kol HaPsulim Sheshachtu Shchitos and Ksheira. Here it says Kol HaPsulim Shemolkanos HaPsulim. And what are the Kol HaPsulim over there with that Shchitos and Ksheira? Zorim, Venoshim, Avodim, Tmei. Okay, here too. It says the same Lashon Kol HaPsulim. L'choira contribuyosh, that's perfect. Kol HaSui Yazor. The Zor, although he's not allowed to, it's possible. L'kos HaPsulim. But it's not Mitzam Beis Abliya. And L'Rav Kol HaSui Yemai, what would that Kol come to include? So Gemara, it says love, but you see there's a vav which take out the love. And for the Gemara, Yisuya Yismoil V'Layla, that Kol HaPsulim. So it doesn't mean Kol HaPsulim Shemolku, that the person was a posel. We're talking about our Kohen. However, he did a Malika B'Paslus. How did he do Malika B'Paslus? He did it with his left hand or he did it at night. Brother Shai, have a good day, a good Chodesh, and a good Shabbos. Thank you. So Gemara, if Asuyas V'Layla, that's what we're talking about, Kol HaPsulim. Kol HaPsulim, therefore, is not referring to the, how does our brother Barry love to refer to it? We're not referring to the Gavra, we're referring to the Chefetz, meaning that the Kohen was not apostle. He was a Kohen, and he's an Einikul from a Harna Kohen all the way back. No Zoris involved whatsoever. He was totally, totally good. Problem is, Kol HaPsulim means that the Korban was apostle. How did it become apostle? Because the Malika was done by Smoil, and the Malika was done by Laila. So that's clearly, Korban is no good, apostle. But you got to go and bring a new one. But what happens if somebody ate from that Korban? So it's into the Mishnah. It's not Metame Bebeis Habliya. Frey Timura, that's what the Kol is coming to be Marba? Look in the Mishnah. Small V'layla Behediktoni. Right after we finish the initial words, Kol HaPsulim Shemokli Kosim Psula, Zok the Mishnah, Molek B'Smoilai V'layla. So you can't tell me that the Kol comes to include Molek B'Smoilai V'layla. The Shteta is Befeish in the Mishnah. Everything Amara, Tani V'Hodim Mefaresh. Oh, the Mishnah begins with a rule. What's the rule? Kol HaPsulim Shemokli Kosim Psula V'Eni Metam V'Sabliya. And now you're scratching your head. What does Kol HaPsulim mean? Kunt Rabbi Yochanan means anybody, any Kohen who's possible, such as not the Kohen who's possible, the person who did the Malik was possible, for instance, a Zor. Oh, beautiful. According to Rav, however, it's referring to Smoil or Laila. The boy said that's what it says right after the parentheses. Kol HaPsulim, Eina Metam Beis Abliya. Molik B'Smoil B'Laila, or Shachat Chulim B'Fneim, Eina Metam Beis Abliya. So the Gemara doesn't need the Mishnah doesn't need a Kol HaPsulim if it says B'Fesh. And for the Gemara, Tani V'Hadim Mefarish. I start off Kol HaPsulim, and you're scratching your head, what does Kol HaPsulim mean? I'll tell you. Molik B'Smoil B'Laila. That's the definition of the word Psulim. Now you understand better when we started off the Mishnah that there's some Girsois that this Kol HaPsulim should come at the end of the Mishnah, and the Shinui Nuschoi says, Miloshin HaGemar, it's not mashma that way. It's not mashma that way because right after that it says Malik B'Smoil B'Laila. It doesn't say that previously it said Malik B'Smoil B'Laila. It says right after that, Tani V'Hoda Mefari. First we say Kol HaPsulim. And then we tell you the din of the Smoil B'Laila. So to say that that Kol HaPsulim comes at the end of the Mishnah is Abyssal Lishmeh. Okay, so bottom line is we have no kasha on Rav for the Kol HaPsulim, because that's not referring to Zohar. But Toshma, let me ask you another kasha. Let's go to the Sefer of the Mishnah, which we had on the third line from the top. Zehaklal, kosher yipsul ba'koidish, einim etami begodim ha'beisabliya. Now, whenever you have a Zehaklal, it comes typically lasuye to add something, because otherwise, what do I need the general rule? I've already gone through every one of the pratim, every one of the details. Zehaklal comes to tell you, I gave you most of the details, but just in case I left something out, this is the general rule. So what does that general rule come to add? We're saying, Kol Shoy Yipsula Ba'Koydish, Einim Etam Begonim Ve'Sabliya, Bishlom Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Lassu Yezar, Kol Shoy Yipsula Ba'Koydish, that the Psul is in Koydish, in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not Metam Begonim Ve'Sabliya. The Zor otherwise is a wonderful Jew. He can get Shlishi, he can get Mafter Yoina. He's a great guy, Reis Talmud Chacham. So his whole psul is only psul bakoidish. To go and do Malika bakoidish, then he is possible. As well as Malika is only bakoidish. There's no concept of Malika outside the base of Yiddish. So all of this is psul bakoidish. So that comes to include the Zor, and the Zor is not Metam Begon Beitzim Bli, which is what Rabbi Yochanan said. But El Rav, who holds that a Zor is mitame begodim abeis abliya, lisuyemai, what does this zehaklal come to be? Marba. Afrei Timura v'letamech, why are you picking on Rav? Let's continue the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a second zehaklal. U'letamech shloi hoye psula b'koidish, lasu yemai, where do you have a psul that was not possible b'koidish, and therefore saying that it's metame beis ablia, what is that coming to include? So Timura elereisha, the zehaklal, where it was psula b'koidish, and it's not metame, that's lesuya shchitas kodshim b'fnim. Sefer lesuya malikas chulin b'chut. What does he mean by that? Because if you go back to our Mishnah, and we look first in the ratio of the Mishnah, starting three lines from the bottom, it said, shochat chulin b'fnim, you shechted chulin, oifis which are chulin, b'fnim, or you shechted kodshim b'chut, you shechted kodshim outside. The one thing that we left out in this list was, shochat kodshim b'fnim. Obviously, we're not talking about behemoths. We're talking about oifis. Instead of doing a malika on kodshim, you did a malika inside. You did.
You did shchita.
No, outside. You left out shchita's kodshim.
I'm sorry, I meant shchita. Sorry, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for the correction. Go ahead. See, it says shochet chulim b'fnim, or shchita's kodshim b'chutz, but I left out the shchita of kodshim b'fnim. The same halacha should apply, but it doesn't say that. It just, you shechted chulim, regular oifis, b'fnim. Or you shechted oifis, which were kodshim, chatas oif, and oilas oif, b'chutz. What about going in, shechting a chatas oif, or a oilas oif, b'fnim? You're supposed to do a malika, and you did a shechita. What's the din? It doesn't say. Oh, that's what the zehaklal, kosher hoile psula b'kodesh, comes to say. Since it's a malika problem, you're supposed to do malika b'fnim, and you did a shechita b'fnim, psula b'kodesh, l'suyamai, l'suya shechita's kodeshim b'fnim, that is not metame b'beis avliya. Now the Sefer, which says, kosher loyo hi psula b'kodesh, and therefore it is metame b'beis avliya, what is that coming to include? L'suya malikas chulin b'chut. Where is that missing? Again, going back to the Omid Aleph, looking at the last line, molak chulin b'fnim, instead of a chatas oif or an oilas oif, you moilik chulin b'fnim, no good. Or you moilik kodshim b'chutz, regular mamish kodshim, chatas oif or oilas oif, but you did b'chutz, that's mitam v'isabliya. But we left out one. What is that one? What about malikas kodshim b'chutz? We didn't talk about that. We talked about... I'm sorry. Malikas chulin b'chutz. Malikas kodshim b'chutz, we have in the Mishnah. Malikas chulin b'chutz, we had malikas chulin b'fnim. We had malikas kodshim b'chutz. We left out, what about malikas chulin b'chutz? I went and took a turtle dove, and I did a malika. Did a beautiful job, my finger was great, and it was done through a kohen, but you did a b'chutz. What's the din? Doesn't say in our Mishnah. That's what the color, the lasu yemai, the zehaklal, lasu yemai, lo yepsul b'kodesh, metam b'beis ablia. Good.
It's just forget the base of minutes. It's nevela. It's
nevela. And therefore,
it's manzah. It's nevela. It's
100% nevela.
No question. So it's metame beis ablia. Nevela sof tahor is metame beis ablia.
So you're saying you just when you talk when you touch it, you're metame.
No.
That's why the Mishnah did not feel you had to enumerate it, but the Zehaklal comes to tell you that even though inside the base of minutes malika is totally acceptable, outside the Beis Hamikdash is totally unacceptable to the point that it's metamim b'beis ablia. If a person were to eat from this nevela, don't think, well, yesterday I had that same karma mekoyin, and yesterday I had that same turtle dove inside the Beis Hamikdash, we did a beautiful malika, today we did a bachutz. I would think, well, since there is a, just like the smoil and the him and the lila, that there is some sort of heksher sometime, maybe this would also be a heksher. No. Malika skul machutz and no such thing, because Malika is strictly Beis Hamikdash and not chutz Beis Hamikdash, and therefore it's metame Beis Ablia. We could theoretically stop here, or since it was a relatively short daf, we can go a few more lines to the two dots. So Tani Kavasa Rabbi Yochanan, bring a right to Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Zor ein metame Beis Ablia. Oh, I have a braisa. Molka Zor. Zor did the Malika. Or Molka Psul. Rashi doesn't say. So Rashi Ksavyad says that Malikas Pesul is referring to a coin who was a Balmum. So what happens if they did the Malikas? Or they had a pigle, Vahad Noiser, Vahad Tomei. That was the carbon. Ein metamina beisablia, they're not metamina. Oh, Shteitach Molka Zor, ein metamina beisablia. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. Zor ein metamina beisablia. So I have a raya from this Chais.
Tomei, it's the korban is tomei and it's not metamei. People know that tomei usually go together as a triplet. I understand, but it's tomei. The buser of the bnei yona became tomei.
How did it become tomei?
It touched the sheretz.
Right.
Okay, so it's tomei. It's tomei al another source.
Al tumas oichlin.
And so it's not metamei based on bliya.
Let's say if you went and held this now.
No, it's not tummy to Muslim. I'm talking about, so it's a tummy. It became the busser of the office tummy.
How did it become tummy?
It touched the sheretz.
Good. Okay. So now
somebody eats it. Somebody eats it. Right. Again, if it was busser of other things, it would make you tummy, right?
What happens if you have the nevelas basar or the sheretz, and the person would go and eat that? Is that matam beisabliya? It's only tam b'magu masa. It's not matam beisabliya.
It's not before beisabliya.
If you touched it, so what's an afkamina?
Okay.
Exactly. Somebody takes it and he puts it with a fork and he puts it down your throat and you never touched it. Yeah, and then it becomes already. There's no tumah but beis astarim, so it would not be matame. So we're saying over here, even though this oif became tame, of course, as you said, it touched the cherit, it touched an avela for whatever reason. If now a person were to go and eat it, it's not matame beis avliyah. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, shemati shtayim. I heard two halachas. Achas kmitza zar, viachas malika zar. A kmitza of a zar, or the malika of a zar. Obviously, in both cases, it's possible. Because in each case, it has to be done through a kohen. Kohen has to do the kmitza by a mincha. Kohen has to do the malika by oifis. I heard, says Rabbi Yitzchak, achas teiret, one of them, if Allah, it went on top of the mizbeach, teiret, take it down, went on top of the mizbeach. The achloi, and one says, no, it does not go down. V'lo yedan, and I don't know which is which. Is it the kmitzazar or the malikazar? Amr cheske, mistavra, svara tells you, kmitza teiret, malika loy teiret. What is the mistavra? What's the logic? Maishna malika, di yeshna bibama. Kemitza nami yeshna babama. What the Gemara is saying is perhaps the reason why he's saying malika loy teiret is because malika you have babama. Since you have malika babama, so then you have more opportunities, more leniencies. Mashen kemitza nishdo by babama. Pray to more, but kemitza is also babama. How do I know? Bukitayim ain mincha babama, ain oif is nami babama. In other words, you're right. Theoretically, malika and kemitza can be done by babama, even through a czar, because there's no kahuna by bama. But you don't bring a carbon mincha, and you don't bring a carbon oif by a bama. Chitayim ein mincha bama, ein oif is not bama. Yom Rav Sheish is the divya oimer yesh mincha bama, yesh oif is bama. The divya oimer ein mincha bama, ein oif is bama. In other words, it's mamonav shach. The two are hainu hach. If you can bring a mincha, you can bring oif. If you can bring oif, you can bring a mincha. In both cases, you don't need a koyin. Outside the basement, of course, in the basement you should need it, but outside you don't. So, Ibazoi, what's the nafkimina between kemitzazor and malikazor that achas teir viachas loy teired? So, my time, what's taka the reason, according to Mandiyama, that ain mincha ve'ain oifis, my time, zvachim v'loy menachis, zvachim v'loy oifis. When you were talking about bringing on the bama, the Torah always refers to zvachim. Where do we have that zvachim? That's the first pasuk that we have over here in the Torah, Ora Shalem. This is talking at the time of Matan Torah. So it was before Matan Torah, but nevertheless, it had the same dinim of Matan Torah. And Zvachim you were able to go and bring. But Zvachim v'lei menachah, Zvachim v'lei oifes. So don't distinguish between one and the other. So if I'm not distinguishing one and the other, why am I saying that one of them, Chizkia says, Mistav, the Kmitza is Teiret. In other words, Kmitza is Shvacher, it's weaker. Take it down, and Malika, leave it up. What's the difference? Says Yomar, nothing to do with Zar, nothing to do with Kahuna, nothing to do with Bama. Ella, the reason is, Al Eima in Kiddush B'Klisharis B'Mincha B'Bama. The whole concept of Klisharis only exists in the Beis Hamikdash. Outside Beis Hamikdash, no such thing as Klisharis. So therefore, if you're doing Lemusha Zrika Sadam, you can go and collect it together in your Nekel Vasa Shisel, or in your plastic basins, and use that for the Zerikas Adam. Those just things as klisharis. But by mincha, you have to have a klisharis to be makdish the mincha and make it into kodesh, even before the kmitza. Since there is no concept of klisharis by a bama, so you can't bring a bama. You can't bring a mincha. But you can go and bring an oif, because oif has no klisharis requirements. Oif is the kli, and the gavra, he is the kli, because the malika is the
ba'atzmei kli.
And so that being the case, that's why we say that in case both of them were done incorrectly. The marshal is done by Azar. What's the status? Kemitza is tated, because Adam can't say, yeah, but I can do it by a bummer. Can't do it by a bummer, because you have to have a kli sharis. Malika loy tated. What's the reason why? Yes, because you can do it by a bummer, after all, according to the man the Yama that says that a bummer is good both for menachos and for oifos. Menachos you can't do, because you have to have a kli sharis. But the malika you can do. So therefore, loy tated.
So how can someone say, yes,